Well, today is the final day of November, with the final month of the calendar year upon us tomorrow. That means things are going to be picking up very quickly. And for Big East women's basketball, definitely can say that tenfold as conference play officially ramps up this weekend with the opening weekend in Big East play. Now, we already saw Creighton take down Xavier in their first, in the very first conference game of the Big East season, but every team in the league will be in action at least one conference game coming up this weekend. Have a preview for that and more here on this women's only edition of the Igloo. So, by the way, definitely want to have a huge shout out. The Big East Big 12 battle on the men's side got started last night, and my God, Marquette, you know, they came into last night's game in Milwaukee. They came there to chew bubblegum and kick ass, and they were all out of bubblegum. And they put the boots to Baylor, who's been one of the best programs in this decade. And it was early in the decade, but still, one of the most dominant, and they just beat the hell out of them. It was a curb stomping, especially in the first half. I'll have more on that in a future episode. But let's shift gears to what happened in Big East Women's Hoops Sunday. Well, in the Phil Knight Legacy Final at the Moda Center, UConn led by 6 after 1, but Iowa went on a big run to take a 6-point lead of their own into the break. And Iowa led by as many as 11, but this UConn team, again, playing without Paige Beckers all year long, but their resiliency showed in this game. Their advantage in the second half, they were plus 13, and they scored. And I knew that it was going to be a thing of, I was going to have to play some respectable defense if they had a if they wanted to have a shot with UConn. Well, the first half that looked like it, they held the Huskies to just 35 points, but UConn just figures it out in the second half by scoring 51 in the second half, and they kept Iowa to 38 points. I mean, it's a high-powered Iowa offense. And their season average was well over 80, even approaching 90 points a game. But UConn leaves Portland with a Phil Knight legacy title, 86-79. AZ Fudd leads the way. By the way, 5 different players in double figures. AZ Fudd had 24 of them, 10 for 19 from the floor, 4 of 10 from deep. Aaliyah Edwards, I believe, was named tournament MVP, and she had a really great weekend in Portland. 20 points, 13 boards, 6 assists in the title game, 10 of 16 from the floor. The big X factor in this one, Caroline Ducharme got off to a bit of a tough start to the season. You know, she was battling, you know, some minor injuries, and had only scored in her previous 3 games 6 combined points. In this one against Iowa, she puts up 15 off the bench in 24 minutes. 5 boards, 3 assists, 5 for 11 from the floor, 3 for 6 from downtown. And every player that played in this game for UConn scored. Lou Lopez-Senecal with 11 points, 5 of 12 from the floor, 1 of 3 from deep. Aubrey Griffin, 10 points, 6 boards, 5 of 6 from the field. And then the freshman, Ayanna Patterson, only played 7 minutes, but 4 points, 3 rebounds, 2 for 2 from the field, made her time on the court count. Huskies out-rebound the Hawkeyes 44-28. They assisted on 30 of their 38 makes. By the way, Nika Mule, only 2 points, but she continues her tremendous pace. you know, leading the country in assists. She had 13 dimes in this one, playing all 40 minutes. And as a whole, UConn, you know, they shot very well from the field. 55%, 38 for 69, 8 three-pointers made on 20 attempts. Compare that to Iowa, they were 28 of 67 from the field, just around 42%. 13 made three-pointers, but on 36 attempts, so 36% from the field. Caitlin Clark leads the way. On paper, 25.7 boards, 6 assists. That's a pretty good stat line. However, she was just 9 of 24 from the floor, 2 for 11 from behind the arc. And the Huskies overcome a really strong game from Kate Martin. She had 20 points on 7 of 10 shooting and made all 6 of her 3-point attempts. 14 from McKenna Warnock. 4 for 14 from the floor, though, just 3 for 11 from behind the arc. 10 points from Gabby Marshall. 4 for 9 from the floor, 2 of 6 from deep. 8 points from their center, Monica Zanano. She also had 7 rebounds in this one and only 2 bench points in 8 minutes from Hannah Stolke. So the bench contributions, I mean, granted, Gino Auriemma only played 2 players off the bench. Iowa played 4, but the bench margin was 19-2. Pretty big difference maker if you ask me. So UConn remains undefeated. Now, in non-feast week action, Xavier went on the road to take on SIU Edwardsville, and they were down 8 after going into the locker room. They were down 38-30. But Xavier shaking off the cobwebs after a competitive loss to a really good Creighton team, bounced back in the second half, outscored the Cougars 43-27. So they go from down 8 to winning this game by 8, 73-65 to improve to 6-1. Michaela Scarlet with 21 points on the day. Fernanda Ovalle with 20 points and 8 rebounds, 7 of 14 from the floor, and knocked down her only 3-point attempt of the game. Taylor Smith was 17, 2 of 4 from deep, 6 of 13 from the field, 4 assists. And then Kasia Woods, really great game off the bench, played 29 minutes, 10 points, 8 boards, 5 assists on 5 of 7 shooting. And then, let's see, Courtney Pranger, she fouled out, as did Anaya Harris. Pranger just 3 points, 2 points for Harris on just 1 of 9 shooting. It also helped that Xavier, I mean, they were 5 of 14 from deep. They hold SIUE to just 4 of 19. And that free throw line, neither team was particularly great, but SIU Edwardsville was 15 of 26. That's under 60% compared to Xavier, who was 18 of 28, so 64%. Leading the way for the Cougars, 17 from Sophie Lewis. 7 of 16 from the floor, but just 1 for 8 from behind the arc. Off the bench, 16 from Ajulu Tatha. She fouled out, but again, 21 minutes. Not only did she have those 16 points, but she also had 14 rebounds, 4 of 7 from the field. Made her only 3-point attempt of the game. Back to the starters, 7 from Madison Webb. 6 points from Olivia Clayton. 5 from Molly Sheehan. 4 from KK Rodriguez, but also worth noting, 9 off the bench from Destiny Duckworth. 14 minutes, 3 of 5 from the floor, 1 of 3 from deep. So Xavier, by the way, SAU Edwardsville fell to 0-5 in that with that loss. In a game that I was very surprised, again, DePaul started off so well in the Fort Myers tip-off, but suffered a hiccup against a respectable Towson team, but a bad third quarter does the Blue Demons in. They got outscored 19-9, and they fall 64-56, so an uncharacteristic rough offensive performance for the Blue Demons as Towson picks up the upset. And to be honest with you, I got to be candid. You know, DePaul did a great job of, you know, beating Miami and beating Maryland. You know, they play up to higher competition, but on the flip side of the coin, they've played down to weaker competition. You know, you saw them lose to Cleveland State and Northern Illinois, and now you see them lose to Towson. Leading the way for the Tigers, Kylie Cornegay-Lucas with 17 points, 8 boards, 5 assists. 13 from Quincy Fulmore, and who also had 10 rebounds. 11 points from Anissa Rivera, 4 for 12 from the floor, 2 of 8 from deep. I mean, Towson as a team didn't really shoot the ball particularly well. 4 of 22 from deep, under 20%, but inside the arc, much more efficient, 22 of 44. That's so 50% on the nose inside the arc, that boosts them up to 39%. Compare that to just 34% from the field for DePaul, 6 of 25 from deep. But 20 turnovers was the difference maker in this one. And DePaul was also just 6 of 12 from the free throw line, Towson 8 for 10. 10 points off the bench for Towson for India Johnston in 24 minutes. 8 points from Sky Williams, and then 3 from Alexia Nelson. Oh, and 2 points as well off the bench from Ryan Evans. For the Blue Demons, Anissa Morrow fouled out, but in 37 minutes, 16 points, 16 boards, 6 of 20 from the field, a really rough shooting day, and to make matters worse, 0 of 6 from deep. Anaya Peoples had a bounce-back performance, 11.7 rebounds, 9 each from Kendall Holmes and Darion Rogers. Rogers, just 3 of 16 from the floor, 2 of 8 from deep. Holmes, 3 for 5 from behind the arc, that's how she got those 9 points. And then Jory Allen, 7.7 boards in 32 minutes. And then off the bench, 2 points each from Tara Day and Kiki Rimmer. So DePaul had a legitimate chance to leave Fort Myers unbeaten. 2-1, still good. But they would have, considering they beat Maryland and they beat Pitt, they would have really, really liked to have this one against Towson. So, disappointing way to head back to Chicago. Meanwhile, final game of the Friar Thanksgiving Classic, Rhode Island rivals meeting Bryant and Providence. I mean, Providence really caught fire in the first half, and they led big. It was 46-23. They were doubling up Bryant at the break, and that's more than enough as they cruise to an 85-60 win to improve to 6-2. Janae Crooms, 19 points, 13 boards, 7 assists, really stuffing the stat sheet. And she was 8 of 13 from the field. 13 off the bench for Megan Herter. It seems like Megan's been better off the bench than she has been as a starter. 2 for 6 from deep. That's how she got those 6 points. I just realized I had a complete brain fart. So, Herter with 6 points, the player I wanted to highlight, Audrey Koch, 13 points, 4 of 4 from the field, and 3 for 3 from behind the arc, and 2 of 2 from the free throw line, so a perfect shooting day. And then 12 points each for Emily Archibald and Bryn Farrell. Farrell, much better shooting day. She had been struggling as of late, so a good bounce back game for the transfer from Florida. Archibald was 4 of 7 from the floor and 2 for 3 from behind the arc. Olivia Olson, 8 points in 19 minutes. Kylie Shepard in 18 minutes back in the starting line of 4.6 boards. I mean, I know Kylie's one of your best players for Providence, but she had been playing really well off the bench. So my guess, you know, maybe you want to see how she does, and maybe in one or two more games as a starter, if she struggles more, maybe you try going with her off the bench and see if she ends up being more efficient that way. They also got 10 points from Grace Afosa on 5 of 7 shooting and 5 rebounds, and then a free throw from Logan Cook in 21 minutes. As for Bryant, by the way, Providence was just incredible in a lot of ways. 47-34 on the glass. 9 of 17 from deep for over 50%, and were an even 50% from the field, 32 for 64. And they hold Bryant to just 25% from three and 32% from the field, leading the way for the Bulldogs. 13 from Nicole Gallagher, 5 for 10 from the floor, 3 for 6 from deep, 5 rebounds as well. The bench was pretty good as well, 23 combined points from the bench. But back to the starters, Megan Bazzioni with 9 points, 3 of 10 for the floor though, 2 of 8 from deep. 8 points off the bench for Kamari Reynolds, the sister, by the way, of former guest on the show and Seton Hall graduate Shavar Reynolds. 7 points from Dana Kiefer, but not her best day shooting the rock. 2 for 7 from deep, 2 for 9 from the field, played 27 minutes. 6 points from Alana Perkins, like Kiefer, 2 for 7 from deep. And then they got 6 points from Lucy Castagne. And then just 2 points in 13 minutes from Marta Nera Martinez. And back to the bench, 2 points from Blanca Chasco. It's a really aesthetic sounding name. I must say that. It's a great name. But Providence, 6-2. They sweep the weekend in the Friar Thanksgiving Classic. Marquette hosting St. Francis PA, a winless team. And Marquette doing what was expected of them. They crushed the Red Flash, and they held them to just 24 points through three quarters, and they were up 35 heading into the fourth. It was 59-24, and they went at 83-40. Pretty well-balanced scoring effort all around. 4 players in double figures. Liza Carlin, 18 points, 5 boards, 8 of 14 from the field, 12 each for Chloe Murata and Mackenzie Hare. Oh my God. Gotta shake off the cobwebs here. Because I haven't talked to any women's hoops in 3 days. So Murata with 9 boards, 5 of 6 from the field, made her only 3-point attempt of the game. Hare, 4 of 10 from deep to get those 12 points. Meanwhile, 10 points from Jordan King in 23 minutes, 4 for 11 from the field, 2 for 3 from deep. By the way, no starter played more than 25 minutes. Murata played the most with 24. Hare played 18 minutes, 20 minutes for Claire Cafes, who scored 5 points, 2 of 4 from the floor, 1 of 3 from deep, 8 rebounds as well. 6 points in 13 minutes from Kennedy Miles, 4 points for Emily LaChapelle in 16 minutes, 6 points as well for... And I, of course, you know, this is when the Wi-Fi starts to give out a little bit, but Micaiah Williams, I knew it. I doubted myself. Micaiah Williams, 6 points in 14 minutes, 2 points in 11 minutes from Charia Smith, 5 minutes, 2 points for Juliana Okeson, and then back to the starters, Rosen Kumu, 19 minutes, 4 points, 2 of 4 from the field, and 16 minutes for Nia Clark, 2 points, 5 boards, 4 assists, but just 1 for 6 from the field. For the Red Flash, 10 points to lead the way for Philippa Gula, 3 for 8 from the field in 30 minutes, 9 points from Aaliyah Moore, 3 for 7 from the field, 9 rebounds. And then they got 6 each from Sam Miller and Samaya Turner, the latter of which came off the bench. 5 points from Addison Novacell. 4 off the bench from Destiny Ward. And then also their one of their starting forwards, Layla Laws, was held scoreless. And just, hey, when you don't have it, you don't have it. But there are some games that when you go 0-for, you know, the more shot attempts you rack up without making one, the more demoralizing it gets. But Laws was 0 for 11 from the field and 0 for 2 from deep. Credit Marquette's defense. They hold the Red Flash to just 1 of 13 from deep. And they also forced 22 turnovers. And they were plus 13 on the glass, 52-39. So Marquette's up to 6-1. And as I mentioned at the end of yesterday's episode, they're now in the top 25, checking in at number 24. Meanwhile, Villanova, who was number 23 this past week, they bounced back from a tough loss to Baylor with a pretty dominant win over South Florida. It's tough because, like, I want to call them USF, but San Francisco was also USF. But Villanova was just dominant. And they were up big at halftime. I mean, up big after one, I should say. It was 25-11 after one quarter. And again, that's enough for them to cruise to a 72-50 win, with Matty Segrist scoring 25 on 10 of 19 shooting and 1 for 2 from deep, 7 rebounds as well. 13 points for Lucy Olsen, 5 for 10 from the floor, perfect from deep at 3 for 3, 3 boards, 5 assists. Matty Burke with 9 points, all from behind the arc, where she was 3 for 7, 5 rebounds as well. How about the freshman Megan Olbries? 9 points, 4 of 7 from the field, knocked down her only 3-point attempt, playing 17 minutes. 6 points from Anahi Lee Cauley in 16 minutes, 3 for 4 from the field. Bella Runyon with 4 points in 23 minutes. They got a free throw in 14 minutes from Caitlin Oriole. Christina Dalsey, limited to just 9 minutes, didn't score and had 2 rebounds. Brooke Mullen, 5 points, 3 dimes, 1 of 4 from the floor, 1 of 3 from deep. And pretty efficient day for Villanova, 9 of 20 from deep, that's 45%, and just under 50% from the field. Meanwhile, South Florida, they struggled shooting the ball. Credit Villanova's defense. The Bulls shot just 1 of 9 from deep, 19 of 56 from the field. Lead the way for the Bulls, 17 from Sammy Puisis. 6 of 13 from the floor, just 1 of 6 from deep. So she had their only 3-point make of the game. So in a blowout loss, Dulce Fancom Mengiadu, I feel like that's a valiant attempt picking that at that name pronunciation. But she had 14 points and 17 rebounds on 6 of 16 shooting in 32 minutes. 11 points from Elena Sinicki, just 6 points in 26 minutes from Carla Brito. Their point guard, Ariel Wilson, was held scoreless in 8 minutes, and only 2 bench points, and they came from Emma Johansson. So Villanova, as expected, they go 2-1 in the Gulf Coast Showcase. So we finally reached this point. I don't want to do power rankings too soon because St. John's is undefeated, but with kind of a weaker strength of schedule. Seton Hall seems to be turning the corner after starting 2-0 and then losing 3 in a row. Now they've won back-to-back games, including a pretty good win against Georgia. Xavier 6-1. Their only loss against a really good Creighton team. Not the strongest strength of schedule like St. John's. So both of those teams are going to get tested this weekend. And DePaul, they're like Jekyll and Hyde. They're either superb or they're challenging the best teams in the country, maybe even beating them like they have with Miami and Maryland, or they play down to their competition and end up losing. So I don't want to form too many opinions too quickly. So a full slate of Big East games Friday. Marquette now number 24 in the country visiting Georgetown. I got faith in the Golden Eagles. I got them winning this game over the Hoyas at McDonough Arena. Going around the rest of the league, well, Providence and UConn. Obviously, UConn's going to win this game. It's by a matter of how much. But Providence has been playing well, and they have the kind of player like Janae Crooms who can cause some issues, but UConn's defense is just so stifling. I mean, I don't know why I need to provide that much analysis, but UConn wins this game easily. Probably should have prefaced that. So before this, by the way, Creighton-Villanova. This is a top 25 game right here. 13th-ranked Blue Jays taking on the number 25 Wildcats. I mean, this is an intriguing matchup. I really am tempted to pick Creighton here because they're battle-tested, but you could make the same argument for Villanova at 6-1. Their only loss coming against a ranked Baylor team, and they beat a good Princeton team on the road. So the big difference is who's going to have the best player on the court. It's clearly going to be Villanova and Matty Segrist. That logic helped me pick the upset over Princeton that they had in the first week of the season. I'm going to stick with my gut here. I'm taking Villanova upsetting Creighton to hand them their first loss of the year. St. John's and Butler at Hinkle. I respect what Butler's done. They're already 4-2. Which is, it's promising. And after losing two of their first three games, they've now won three in a row in pretty dominant fashion. The average margin of victory during this three-game winning streak is 23 points. It's pretty good. Meanwhile, St. John's, again, they're 6-0. They played their first four games at home at Carneseca, and the last two at the ill-fated Las Vegas Invitational, where they got close wins against Memphis and UTSA. So this is their first true road game of the year. Butler's going to push them, but I trust Joe Tardamella and company to get the job done at Hinkle. And then Seton Hall Xavier at Cintas. Listen, Xavier played valiantly against Creighton a week ago. But at this point, Seton Hall seems to be figuring it out now. And I got the Pirates winning at Cintas. But again, I wouldn't be surprised if Xavier, you know, not only challenges Seton Hall, but if they somehow were to beat them. Now, Sunday, there's a bunch of games happening. Let's see what we got here. Why not? Let's start with, let's go Villanova-Providence here. The Wildcats, again, depending on how they play against Creighton, you know, if they pull the upset, you know, they'll be really riding high. If they lose and it's a close game, I think they're going to remain even keel. But with how Creighton shoots the rock, you know, they can definitely make it ugly early if Villanova doesn't defend well or if just Creighton just shooting it lights out. But I got Villanova winning at Providence to probably get to, with what I'm picking, they would go to 2-0. Marquette visiting Seton Hall, you know, coming from D.C., up to South Orange. Walsh Gym has been a bit of a house of horrors for Marquette in recent years. But I got Marquette, you know, exercising their demons in Walsh and winning a close game against the Pirates. 2 o'clock tip, Creighton, St. John's. They'll go from Philly to Queens. And St. John's, you know, I'm expecting them to be 7-0 by that point. But if there's any, again, this is their first real huge test taking on Creighton. I mean, no matter what, though, even win or loss against Villanova, I think they'll come into Queens and defeat the Red Storm. I mean, the last time they went there, I mean, they hit, what, 23-pointers? I don't think it's going to be like this again, but I got Creighton beating the Johnnies. Now, DePaul at Butler. I got the Blue Demons winning. Again, I like what Butler's doing. I really do. But I think DePaul, I think they're going to wake up here. And I got the Blue Demons win. So they don't play Friday. I got DePaul winning their league opener again on Sunday against the Butler Bulldogs. which would drop the Dogs to 0-2 in conference play. Meanwhile, in the only non-conference game of the weekend for the Big East is the Jimmy V Women's Classic taking place at Purcell Pavilion in South Bend. Top 10 matchup, number 3 UConn, number 7 Notre Dame. Both teams undefeated, the Fighting Irish at 6-0 with, you know, they got some quality wins. And by the way, Notre Dame could still be unbeaten when this game happens at 3 Eastern on Sunday on ABC. But they're going to face a bit of a test tonight, a Thursday night, I should say, when they host Maryland, the number 20 team in the country, as part of the ACC Big Ten Challenge. Listen, I really like how UConn's play. I really like how Notre Dame looks as well. You know, even, I mean, you look at some of these players. Olivia Miles is just a bucket. Sonia Citron, another really solid player. Dara Mabry, doing her thing as well. Same with Lauren Ebo. So, Notre Dame, I mean, they really roll out like a 9-player rotation where, and 8 of those players are averaging 10-plus minutes a game. 7 of which are in the, you know, close to 20 minutes a game. So Notre Dame has depth. So the depth could be an X factor in this game, but I think UConn is just too talented, too good, and they know they can handle a game in South Bend. So I got UConn winning a tight one at Notre Dame. And then in a game that you'll see on FS1, 6:30 will be the tip. Xavier and Georgetown. This is a toss-up for me. It really is. Because Xavier, I'm not trying to discredit them. But you can see the clear discrepancy in competition with the teams they've played this year. Like, even Georgetown's played some tough games, you know, with playing at Temple, Mississippi State. So, I think with it being at McDonough Arena, I got to give a slight edge to Georgetown. But again, I would not be surprised because Xavier went in there and won in overtime a year ago. But my gut's telling me Georgetown, and that's what I'm going to go with. And I'll tell you what, I don't think Xavier is going to finish in that dead last spot like everyone was projecting them to. Like, to be quite honest with you, I really don't think that, like, there's any one team they're like, yeah, they're undoubtedly going to finish dead last, because the Big East has had a pretty good non-conference schedule. Really good. I mean, you look at some, I mean, you have Creighton's unbeaten, St. John's is unbeaten, as is UConn. Marquette, Villanova, and Xavier each with only one loss. The only teams with more than 2 losses, that's DePaul and Seton Hall at 4-3, and they've been the most inconsistent teams. So for both of those teams, they got to figure out that consistency this weekend. Again, DePaul only has that one game, but it's a game you got to have against Butler. And then, on top of that, with Seton Hall, you want to find a way to sweep the weekend and keep the positive momentum you got going after losing the opener at the Paradise Jam to VCU. And, you know, they got decent wins against Wisconsin and then really good win against Georgia to close it out. Got to keep the momentum rolling. I think they do it at the CentOS Center. And even Marquette Seton Hall's a toss-up. Because, like I said, Walsh has been a house of horrors for the Golden Eagles, and they got a bunch of demons to exercise in that building. So we're going to see how it all plays out. So that's going to do it for this episode of the Igloo. I mean, it's really Christmas season now because December is tomorrow. So What's to come in future episodes? Well, the Big 12 battle is going to rage on because we only had one game last night. There are three tonight, three more on Thursday, three more tomorrow, two on Saturday, and the last one being on Sunday. So, not really sure. I'm probably going to have a men's episode Friday, I think. Yeah, bank on a men's episode coming on Friday. And probably relatively early. I know, as a pretty busy person, I mean, I would expect the episodes Friday, Saturday. I want to have a buffer between, you know, the first slate of games Friday for Big East Women's Hoops and Sunday. So, again, men's episode Friday, women on Saturday. Thanks for tuning in. Catch you next time here on the Igloo.